Welcome to Barnegie Hall. For those of you who are new here, we have concerts here that help to support a nonprofit called Music on a Mission, where we take the benefits of music to people with different needs of all ages. So DREW is one of those programs, and DREW stands for Delivering Restorative Energy to Our Warriors. So first, if you're able, will all the veterans please stand up so we can recognize you? So thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And I am just always overwhelmed by all the veterans who have participated in DREW, and they come back to support the new ones. So that means a lot because it shows that what we're trying to do works. So DREW, Project DREW, provides a way for veterans to tell their unique stories and to reconnect with communities. And I always say also that it's astounding to me how these brave people have the most extraordinary experiences, and then they come home and live, and this is definitely in quotes, ordinary lives among us. So that's always amazing to me. So Project DREW is dedicated to giving veterans a voice to their experiences. So the songs might remind them of who they were or show them the power that they have. By creating a song out of their stories, it becomes a lasting tribute to their service and place in history. So our songwriters also have the most talent, insight, compassion, and they're the ones that make this program successful. They connect, the songwriter connects with the veteran, and they transmit the story heart to heart, and then the music does the work. So before we start, I have just a couple of announcements that I know I'll forget if I don't say them right now. One is that in the audience, we have Aaron Rader and Kenneth Noon, and they wrote this book called 3095, which is the number of the number of veterans in Ohio that were killed in Vietnam. And they built, Ken built himself a wall, a standing wall, in Clinton, Ohio, and they are donating a book to each of the veterans and each of the, for today, the ones that participated, and each of the songwriters. So thank you. And I also want to say that the Marine Corps birthday breakfast is November 10th at 7:30 at the AMVETS post in Elyria. It's open to the public, and all branches of the service will be honored. Okay, so now, before we go on and I introduce Mike, I want to introduce, this has been an extraordinary weekend. It always is. It's such an honor to meet the veterans and hear their stories. We learn so much from them, and we can take strength from their experiences. But it's an even more special weekend because the unit, a lot of the guys from DREW's unit are here, including his commander. And they come back every year. Every October, they come back, and they that just shows. They come back, they connect with each other, they connect with us, and that's what one of the goals of DREW is. We want to be the social support and connect you to each other and to us and to the community. So right now, DREW's commander, Chris Robichaud, is going to say just a few words. if that's possible, to say just a few.
Good morning, afternoon, everybody. I'm Roby. I was Drew's commander when we were assigned to 1st Battalion of 10th Special Forces Group in Stuttgart, Germany. And from there, we would deploy to Afghanistan as a NATO Special Operations Task Force, commonly known as Task Force 10. And some of Drew's teammates were here. So to put in context, a lot of people see this beautiful shrine that they build over here in the corner. They see these pictures of this strikingly handsome young man. And a lot of people don't know a little bit more or know beyond his uniform and beyond the cool pictures what Drew's role was or what the role of his team, commonly referred to the nomenclature 2-6, Team 2-6. So that would be Bravo Company, 6th Team of the 1st Battalion. Anyway, the nomenclature, it's military. And by the raise of hands earlier, everybody's a veteran here. Or you're intimately familiar or with a veteran, and you know that we love our acronyms, and there's just no way to explain why we use them so much. So I'll try not to. But Drew was the commander of an OD. See, I'm right off to an acronym already. So an Operational Detachment Alpha, or an A-Team, a Special Forces A-Team in Afghanistan. And again, some of the amazing operators he served and fought alongside are here today. And on behalf of them, we are so grateful. Words don't express about the invitation to keep coming back here every year. It means so much to us. Words just don't describe it. So Drew was the commander of this A-Team, and this A-Team was tasked to go to a really, really volatile part of Afghanistan in that particular time of the war, in an area or a province or kind of like a state called Kunar. And Kunar was a Taliban stronghold. I mean, there's no way around it. And in fact, at the time that the guys and Drew served in Kunar, Kunar was the place where all the medals of honor were awarded for valorous activities. That just kind of illustrates the kinetic nature of that. It was right up alongside Pakistan, south of the Himalayan submountains. But, oh man, what a team. What a team. So I just want to share one story. I was invited with Mike, Drew's cousin, to address a few people who did a memorial workout on behalf of Drew last weekend. And each time I had a chance to speak, I tried telling a different story about Drew. And I was reminded, actually, we were just graveside reminiscing about Drew before we came here. And I want to share a story about him that I've only told a few people. And frankly, guys, I don't know if you guys know this story. So I was Drew's commander, like I said, and I'd met him a few times in passing as he got to the unit. And the guys were out training for the most part, getting ready for this next deployment mission. And he came in kind of late, as it were. He wasn't available for all of the training for that particular tour. But he came to my office to get the mission brief from me of what I expected of him when he and his team go to Kunar. This is the, you know, it's been done in movies millions of times where someone reports to their commander and then they give them the mission. Well, in Special Forces, we really celebrate our fraternization and our lack of rigidity in, you know, our relationships up and down the chain of command. It's incredibly informal, first name basis. So Drew came into my oversized German former officer office from World War II, and he came in and I just sat him down on this big leather couch that had probably been there since World War II. And I poured us some Jack Daniels in the middle of the duty day. And his eyes were like, whoa. And I was like, hey, Drew, have a seat. He's like, thanks, sir. And I was like, call me Roby. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to happen for a while. And I'm like, okay, whenever you're comfortable. And I had a whiteboard behind me. And I just wrote on it before he came in, win. Just the word win. And he's like, all right, sir. You know, he had his notebooks and his maps, and just being the young fired up officer that he was really eager to doctrinally get ready for this dump of requirements I was going to put on him. And he's like, hey, sir, I'm really, you know, it's just so flattering. Now, this is before we became personal. We later found out we're both from Ohio, and we later became quite chummy on the rooftop of your guys' outpost there in Kunar. And then subsequently, we would go drinking in Stuttgart and I'd pass out on his couch. So we became close friends, like any Northern Ohioans would, I guess. But at this time, it was still kind of formal, and I was trying to break him out of the environment he came from, which would have been the school, where it was quite formal. So I'm like, Jack Daniels, I'm Roby. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. And he had his maps, his notes. He's like, all right, sir, I'm ready for it. And I'm like, all right, you ready? He's like, yes, sir. And I was building it up. I'm like, hey, look behind me. He's like, all right. So I go, what do you see? He's like, a blank whiteboard. I go, no, there's a word. What is that? He goes, oh, win. I go, that's all you got to do. Just go win. I said, go. I can't tell you what winning looks like, but that's what you're here for. That's what Special Forces did for 2 years to prepare you to go somewhere with no resources, figure it out. We trust you. You're Drew friggin' Ferguson. You're going to go to Kunar. I said, you're going to find a partner force. At that time, we were required to do operations with Afghan special operations people. In other words, we couldn't do things on our own. You have to have a partner force. I go find a partner force, find a base, preferably with buildings, set it up, and your team will be there in about 4 weeks when they come out of their training. But I'm sending you in a few days. Go figure it out. Set it all up. Your team's going to be here on this day. Have a partner force. Have a place for them to sleep. Have a food plan. Have a medevac plan. And then have an engagement plan with all the elders as you work the human domain of Jedi brainwashing people to do things that you want, which Drew was really good at, even with me, frankly. And so he did it. He's like, well, I got so many questions. And I'm like, you don't even have to bother because I don't know the answers. You got a flight. You're going to go to Jalalabad and you're going to link up. We did have another unit there. And they're going to get you to Kunar and you're just going to start gripping and grinning with all the other military and coalition forces there until somebody offers you a base. Somebody can recommend through their Afghan leadership who a partner force would be, and the boys will be there in about 4 weeks and then just start liberating Kunar, dude. And he's like, I don't even know. I go, no, you do know. This is exactly why you're here right now. Just go figure it out and win. So he did. And he was really excited about it. And he'd see me a few more times before he left in the next few days. And he was really eager. He's like, well, I've made contact here and I think my plan is this and my plan is that. And I said, Drew, you don't have to report to me yet. This is all theory. Wait till you get there and then start sending me situation reports. And you'll be sending intelligence back to the team as they can get ready. Anyway, he did it. And then we all got to Afghanistan. And then the team reunited with Drew. And everything was in place. One man, one spirited young Green Beret officer with no guidance, maybe some inspiration, I hope, but no guidance. Unlimited cash, thank you taxpayers and the global war on terrorism, and just Drew's know-how and his go-get-em attitude that he shared with his family and friends growing up here in these parts up on the coast of Lake Erie, and just be a go-getter and figure it out. And he did, and he nailed it. And then when the team showed up, they were already, all the conditions were set for them to have an amazing tour with an amazing impact, not only for the people of Kunar, but negative impact for all those bad guys. So that became known as the Ferguson Doctrine. That was it. And I used it three more times because Drew nailed it so hard that when a captain would come in and he was deploying soon, he's like, well, I want to spend time with my team. I got a bond with my team. I'm like, we're all the same. You're fine. You're already in the brotherhood, but you got to go win, go figure it out. And I've got nothing for you, but you can do it. And that was the Drew Ferguson. So I don't No, even Marilyn and Jim, if you guys have heard that story, or Mike, maybe. Yeah, so that, I don't know why I sat on that one for all these years. But that just underlines the character of who he was as a professional military officer, specially selected and served with the most amazing operators the world can produce. So I just wanted to give you that perspective. Thank you to all the songwriters, of course. You impress me every time. Thanks for your time. Thanks.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Mike Winn, and I'm Drew's cousin. and I'll just put it out there. We're really feeling it this weekend. We're really feeling Drew's presence this weekend. And I'm just so proud of Drew and all the guys here and so grateful. Let me just start with Roby. We got to know each other through Project Drew, and Roby, I'm just I value your friendship so much, and I had not heard that story. I've heard other ones that are hilarious from you and the guys. I had not heard that story, and for our family, I mean, it's such a gift. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, where to start? So, good afternoon and welcome to Barnegie Hall. And it's a beautiful fall day here in Northeast Ohio. And we have yet again a wonderful workshop. We've come together now for the 36th time since our start in October. Yep. Since our start in October of 2017. And so since then, right around 200 veterans have participated in our workshops. And this is just such a wonderful expression of Drew's legacy. It's just so great. And I think this weekend in particular, to come back together, we had kind of the largest circle Saturday morning. You know, we circle up and brief introductions of who we are, where we're coming from. Then Marilyn pairs up veterans and songwriters, and they go off and spend the day, the afternoon, around the barn and outside to talk and listen and share. To then come back now today to share these songs. And yesterday's circle was like the biggest one we've ever had because a lot of the guys are here from Drew's unit. And I think Marilyn said it best yesterday when she expressed our gratitude, and we're so thankful that the guys come back. October is kind of the de facto reunion workshop, and you know, some of them are still deployed, so they were going to come and they couldn't. But I mean, like each October, the crew comes back, and Marilyn said, you know, that's so important because it tells me that this is working. And by that we mean that our veterans stay connected with us. And if you leave with, hopefully leave with a bunch of messages and things that you hear today that are meaningful. If you leave with one of them, though, please keep that connection in mind. You know, all of our songwriters, we always want to grow our songwriter community as well. But our veterans, stay connected. You know, we don't know what you went through. We don't ask you to come here with any sort of prescription of what to do or say or to grieve or to any of that. Come here and connect with us. Tell us some of your experiences. Tell us a story that you like to have told in a song. And it seems to work. It seems to work. And so if you will stay connected with us, I think we could do great things together. And really, most importantly, take care of each other, especially with the power of music. It's I think simply stated and hard to do in this crazy world. So that gives you an idea of what we did yesterday. Now here we are 24 hours later to hear some songs, and I'll get out of the way in a second and just let the music do the work. But I will say finally, we'll share, we have two songs to share with you at the end after the new ones today. We're going to play a song. Brendan and the guys were like, hey, what's that song that Drew wrote and started? And we finished it and performed it at a workshop in April 1st, 2023. So we're going to play Free Spirit of Man for Brendan and the crew. And then we'll do Drew's song at the end. At the end of every workshop, we play I Know a Place. And that's a song that Drew wrote about his ideal evening of coming together with friends. We actually did that last night around the bonfire. It was pretty special. We had just an epic, just perfect evening. Jim made a massive fire, and we just hung out and played songs until whatever. I lost track of time, you know, whatever time to the wee hours. So that was really special. Really, just that's it's like a slice of what I think what Drew was after with that song. So really special. Kind of basics, tactical note. Why don't we close the barn door and take out your phone. And I like to check that mine is either off or silenced. Don't worry if there's stray noises. Curtis and Jim do a great job of getting good recordings. So don't worry if there's background noise or somebody gets a phone call. It's just a good reminder to turn it off or silence it. And you know, it's also helpful for the songwriters because this is really stressful for our songwriters too. And so it helps them to concentrate and perform the best that they can. Yeah. All right, so let me welcome to the stage Charlie, who's written with us many times, to share the song he wrote with Dale Moran. Come on up, Charlie.